dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere.
Very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. We thank God for another Saturday. I'm Eben, and we give God the glory and the honor for giving us another weekend. We thank God for the last number of weeks we've been treating the guitar parenting, and technically, the things we are discussing and talking about is not necessarily only for parents, but I believe non-parents as well are learning something from it. These are very serious times we find ourselves in, and the devil is very, very busy doing his best to get as many people deceived, as many people confused, as many people in bondage. And using technology as a major tool in these times we find ourselves in. Technology is good, but ignorance alongside technology can be a deadly tool, because if you don't know about how deadly something is, you can misuse it, misapply it, and it becomes a problem for you. That's why it's very important we talk about this topic, and I believe there's a lot we are discussing tonight as well. Because I'm happy for one thing that parents and listeners are beginning to understand some of these things. So now when people see some things, they even forward to me, and that's good. Last week, I should have used this video of this kid that was talking about killing, being a murderer and all that. But my shadow, so I couldn't add it. So this week or tonight, I'm adding it. But, you know, that's a typical case of the effect of entertainment or media on an innocent-looking child. And I believe I'll play the file for those who might not have heard or seen it. And we'll talk about other important things. This week, Facebook research within they themselves, the Facebook company on Telegram, on Instagram, that has been leaked. And just confirming the same things, the dangers out there that we've been talking about. But you see it from their perspective, they themselves confirming the effect on teenagers and the users and all. So we'll talk about it. And first, we'll start off with the news, things happening in the world, and a few other things as well. So I believe if you are feeling sleepy, you can warm up so that you don't fall sleepy or you don't fall asleep. And let's get going tonight. We thank God for this evening. Greetings to our listeners elsewhere, outside Kumasi, outside Ghana, on internet. Greetings to you all. All right, so let's get going with this first news item that says the world is now seeing twice as many days over 50 degrees Celsius. And according to this report, the number of extremely hot days every year when the temperature reaches 50 degrees Celsius has doubled since 1980s, a global BBC analyst has found. They also now happen in more areas of the world than before, presenting unprecedented challenges to human health and how we live. The total number of days above 50 degrees Celsius has increased in each decade since 1980. On average, between 1980 and 2009, temperatures passed 50 degrees Celsius about 14 days a year. The number rose to 26 days a year between 2010 and 2019. In the same period, temperatures of 45 degrees Celsius and above occurred on average an extra 2 weeks a year. The increase can be 100% attributed to the burning of fossil fuels, says Dr. Frederick Otu, Associate Director of the Environmental Change Institute at the University of Oxford. As the whole world warms, extreme temperatures become more likely. High heat can be deadly for humans and nature and cause major problems to buildings, roads, and power systems. The temperatures of 50 degrees Celsius happen predominantly in the Middle East and Gulf regions. After record-breaking temperatures of 48.8 Celsius in Italy and 49.6 Celsius in Canada this summer, scientists have warned that days over 50 degrees Celsius will happen elsewhere unless we cut fossil fuel emissions. We need to act quickly. The faster we cut our emissions, the better off we will all be, says Dr. Sihan Lee, a climate researcher at the School of Geography and the Environment at the University of Oxford. Interesting days we find ourselves in. A lot is happening in the world, and these are scientific confirmations from it. For some time now, if you've been listening to this program, I've been warning about the food crisis that is gradually happening in the world. And even in Ghana, you go to markets, you ask for, the cost of food prices is increasing, both local food produce and imported. For the imported one, it's even going to get higher and higher because the supply chain crisis is not ending anytime soon. According to experts, it's going well into 2022. It's not ending this year. The shortage of shipping containers, where some companies have to pay $10,000 to get a 40-footer container to use. And that's a very serious thing. If you are getting a container for $10,000, then clearly whatever goods will be in that container, the price will have to be extra high because you have to add all this cost to it. And this is a major issue. I mean, aside the container shortages, there are chip shortages, I mean, affecting factory productions in many countries. There are shortage of workers in some areas in China due to COVID and the effects. So it's a chain reaction. That's why we call it supply chain reaction. And it's affecting the world economy in various ways. This article from Bloomberg really has a summary of what is happening. It says, priciest food, or that's price, the cost of food, priciest food since 1970s is a big challenge for governments. Whether for bread, rice, or tortillas, governments across the world now know that rising food costs can come with a political price. The dilemma is whether they can do enough to prevent having to pay it. Global food prices were up 33% in August from a year earlier, with vegetable oil, grains, and meats on the rise. Data from the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization show. And it's not likely to get better as extreme weather, soaring freight and fertilizer costs, shipping bottlenecks, and labor shortages compound the problem. Dwindling foreign currency reserves are also hampering the ability of some nations to import food. From Europe to Turkey and India, politicians are now handing out more aid, ordering sellers to cut prices and tinkering with trade rules to mitigate the impact on consumers. The issue is more acute in emerging markets, where the cost of food accounts for a greater chunk of household spending, and in crisis-hit nations. And then goes on to say that in Lebanon, militant group Hezbollah has tightened its grip on the country by distributing food. But even the U.S. is taking action to address affordability made more urgent during the coronavirus pandemic. Governments can intervene and commit to supporting lower consumer prices for a while, said Colin Hendricks, a non-resident senior fellow at the Pittson Institute of International Economics, a Washington-based think tank. But they can't do it indefinitely. Food inflation spared more than two dozen routes across Asia and Middle East and Africa, contributing to the Arab Spring uprising 10 years ago. Pockets of discontentment are growing again. Unrest in South Africa, triggered by the arrest of former Jacob Zuma in July, turned to food as people looted grocery stores and restaurants. Shortages in Cuba led to the biggest protest in decades. Adjusted for inflation and annualized costs are already higher now than for almost any time in the past six decades. That's serious. In the past six decades, according to FAO data. Indeed, it's now harder to afford food than it was during the 2011 protests in the Middle East that led to the overthrow of leaders in Tunisia, Libya, and Egypt, said Alastair Smith, senior teaching fellow in Global Sustainable Development at Warwick University in the UK. Food is more expensive today than it has been for the past majority of modern recorded history, he said. There's a crisis. I mean, believe it or not, there's a crisis. And we just have to know the times we are in. I have been giving this warning on this program for some time now because the signals were clear earlier. And it's not ending now. And if there's one thing we can learn from this or this news information that we've been hearing on and on this program, we have to be like Josephs of our time. And anyone who has read the Bible regarding the Joseph in the Old Testament, regarding what he did for Egypt and in Egypt, and the role he played, should understand this and start acting because, as I've said, the experts are saying that it is not ending now. And it's going to go higher and higher with unpredictable consequences and effects and the chain reactions and all that. So, you see, they give signals. They say these things in passing, but sometimes people just take it lightly. Last month, the U.S. Vice President, when she was in Asia, made a passing comment that parents should buy toys now for Christmas, the Christmas toys. They should buy it now in August. What is the implication? The supply chain consequences. You see, but some of these statements, people just will just take it lightly. But she's saying a very deep message. A very deep message. This goes beyond toys. This goes beyond toys. So, you see, in effect, she is trying to say that do your Christmas purchasing now. That means by December, we are going to have a far more precarious situation, far more serious events, or regarding food and cost of items and all. Things are going to be higher in that time. So that's the world we are in. You know, this world is not going to get better. And the picture of the state of the world now is clearly depicting the state of the world that the Bible tries to describe in the times we are in. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And these are the times. So, but these things should not let us fear. These are the times to know who we trust and how to trust him more in God, ask him for the wisdom, the direction, how to do and what to do, depending on him for his provision and his wisdom and all. These things should inspire we, the Christians, to know how to relate with our God the more and better. You see, so the news is given. Unbeliever hears it. What does the unbeliever do with the news he or she hears? The Christian hears it. What do you make of the news that you hear as a believer? The reaction that you make or the actions you take based on the news you hear as a believer is what makes us different from the unbeliever. So we are not to throw our hands in despair and in worry and in fear. But these things should encourage us first to know that, yes, the word of God is true, because clearly these are not things which should surprise us. Because if you read, I'm not doing eschatology directly tonight, but you read the things about the end times. Famine is clearly part of the things the Bible talks about. And if the world organization, the UN, has been giving signals that the world is headed towards situations like that, then we should know where we are headed. And it's not just famine, pestilences, diseases, all these things, various things, wars, rumors of wars, things are shaping up in various ways. All right, the next one is in Pakistan, where Muslim gunmen open fire on church and Christian homes. A group of heavily armed Muslim men fired bullets indiscriminately at a church and Christians' homes, wounding at least 4 Christians, including 6-month-old pregnant woman in Pakistan's Lahore city, according to a report. The shooting took place in the Shamsabad locality and then in the Lahore city in the Punjab province on September 6th, according to Morning Star News. And one woman says that when I was telling my kids to get inside, I saw a group of heavily armed men firing indiscriminately at a church located on the street, he said. Then they trained their weapons on the homes of neighboring Christians and fired volleys of bullets at them. The gunmen saw him looking and opened fire on him, wounding him in both thighs. I barely managed to drag myself into my house and lock the gate, but they did not stop firing, Masih said. He said that I could hear them shouting that they would not spare Christians living in the area and would also burn down our church. These are very serious times for the Christians in various countries where persecution is really increasing. And there's one news I strangely forgot, but that's to do with the U.S., the U.K. and Australia have gone into agreements to U.K. and U.S. to get Australia submarine, nuclear-powered submarines, and in the way of confronting China. This has not gone down well because it has angered France, who earlier had an agreement with Australia to provide them with the submarine technology, which was going to cost tens of billions of dollars, big money. And now US and UK have convinced Australia to cut off the France one. This has raised tensions between France and UK, France and US. And you see, is it last week or last week? So I was talking about the failure of the US in Afghanistan is going to push Europe to come up with their own military force to become a stronger force. And this is even going to push it further because, you know, the French president has been at the forehead of, you know, forefront of pushing the European Union to have its own military force, a stronger force. But this is going to be a major shift where Europe is going to come out stronger because, you know, UK has left the EU. The US has already betrayed them, in turn betrayed the EU by what happened in Afghanistan, the withdrawal deadline and the disappointment and all that. So with the tension between US, UK and France, and then between Australia and then Europe, we are going to have a situation where the geopolitics of the world is really going to shift in ways which is going to push EU to form a stronger EU army. A stronger EU is a major, major, major sign of the times that we are in. These are major signs, and I believe, and at another time I'll get into further details of the role of EU coming together and the role of EU in the end times and all that. But interesting times we live in. And this news says, Christian boy who suffered burns up to 65% of his body in anti-Christian attack has a slim chance of survival. And this is another Morning Star news that says the Christian boy who suffered this in India, in the Bihar state, is in very, very critical condition and is likely not to survive, according to a doctor treating him. The family said they suspect Hindu nationalists are behind the attack because the boy is a leader in a local church and the area they live in has anti-Christian sentiments. The victim, identified as Nitish Kumar, was attacked with acid after he left his house in a village to go to the market in the early morning on August 11th. And then, so he is at the Benz unit now, and the survival chances are very low, according to the Morning Star News. You know, sometimes the reason why we need to remind ourselves of the things happening in the world is that in our side, in our part of the world here in Ghana, where we are at peace, nothing really shaking the Christian system, we can easily feel comfortable to the point that, oh, nothing is happening in the world. All Christians are like us. It's like, well, we, you know, easy, enjoy life, you know, cool, eat, sleep. I mean, nothing much. But we have to understand that persecution is increasing and is happening in various countries, in various ways. And so we have to understand some of these things. So at least we should also know how to pray for some of these persecuted believers in various places. And also know that when the Bible says some things are going to happen in the times, in the end and all that, it is indeed happening and it's increasing. Then Nigeria, where pastor was machetes were used to kill him, and they found his body. That's according to another report in Nigeria's Punch News. And Nigeria's situation is extremely worrying because there seems to be no end in sight, especially with the current government in place. They have no interest in solving it. And a few weeks ago, I saw one news item where in one northern state, the governor has even gone ahead to say that people should start arming themselves to defend themselves. And when a government official says this, then it shows how serious the issue has become. Because if the government cannot protect you and you are being advised to arm yourselves, then it means the situation is getting really, really out of hand. And it's very serious for some places. And we go to Wales, and this headline says that in Wales, LGBTQ+ action plan may put pastors at risk of prosecution for hate incidents. And the way they've done it is this way. It said that A proposed law in Wales is, in Wales, quote, threaten the religious freedom of pastors and the ability to provide counseling to people with unwanted same-sex attractions. A Christian advocacy group has warned. A draft version of the LGBTQ plus action plan for Wales, published by the devolved government of Wales in July, seeks to ban all aspects of sexual orientation change efforts therapy, or what's often derisively known as conversion therapy. So while the plan states that its goal is to improve the recognition of LGBTQ plus people and advance LGBTQ plus equality and inclusion, some Christians fear it would restrict pastors' ability to counsel their parishioners and put them at risk of facing a hate crime charge if they share their biblically based beliefs about human sexuality. One proposal included in the plan calls for the program for government to ban all aspects of LGBTQ plus conversion therapy. Many religious leaders and Christian therapists seek to provide those with unwanted same-sex attraction with counseling and therapy. In recent years, several Western governments have implemented or sought to impose bans on so-called conversion therapy, primarily at the state and local level. Caris Mosley of the UK-based legal and advocacy group Christian Concern warned about the consequences bans on therapy might have for the religious community. Specifically, Mosley expressed concern that the Welsh government wants people to be able to report faith leaders to the police for hate incidents. Caris Mosley of the UK, Mosley cited the integrated impact assessment of the LGBTQ plus action, which states the Welsh government's intent to take an intersectional approach and build on the existing work of faith leaders in Wales to promote LGBTQ plus inclusion and support many LGBTQ plus people to express their own faiths or beliefs. The Welsh government also published a detailed equality impact assessment, which examines the effect that aspects of the LGBTQ plus action plan will have on different groups, including religious community. And then goes on to say that interfering in the religious community, whilst admitting that, quote, a proposal to ban conversion therapy practices may curtail a qualified right to manifest a religious or psychological or physiological beliefs, quote unquote, say that the document claims that potential interference with this qualified right may be justified in a democratic society on the grounds of public safety, health, and morals, or protecting the rights and freedoms of others. And, you know, it goes on to say this. The bottom line is they are now trying to push the system to the point where, as a pastor, you can't counsel someone to leave the LGBTQ plus based on biblical advice or counseling or prayer. So, in effect, these governments that are pushing this ban on conversion therapy means that they want you to be stuck in your sin and in your lifestyle with no help coming from the church. You see, so the devil is using these leaders, political leaders, to clamp down on spiritual solutions, deliverance, prayer, counseling, word of God, teachings and all, to stifle the voices that can give hope to these people. Very worrying. And we go to the U.S. As for this Lutheran church, the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, becomes the first mainline denomination in the U.S. to install trans-identified bishop. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has installed Reverend Megan Rora, as the first openly transgender bishop to serve in the liberal mainline Protestant denomination's history. How can the church be liberal? For the next 6 years, Reverend Rora, 41 years, who identifies as both a male and female, I mean, come on, male and female, and uses the pronouns they and them. You know, what I'm never able to understand is when they choose this pronoun switch. Serious. So, you call a single person they and them. Oh, no. And if you choose to say he or she, he will say that you are misgendering him or her, whatever it is. And this can become a crime depending on whichever states, if some of these things are applicable. So you see a person calling and said, instead of, oh, I saw them. Meanwhile, you mean I saw one person, or I saw him or her. But you have to say, I saw them. If you don't say it that way, trouble. I mean, the world, I keep saying Sodom and Gomorrah were jokers. They were jokers. Because this generation, you know, this is someone who is supposed to be a man or woman, depending. It says both. So a man, woman of God. Supposed to. So this person cannot deny that he or she doesn't know that this goes against the word of God. Because on Sundays, a Bible is what he's going to use, or whatever, she or whatever he's going to use. See, so this person cannot say he doesn't know that God is not happy with this lifestyle. The people in Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have any Bible to make reference to learn from as warning, to know that God hates this. You see, so fast forward to our time, we have no excuse because we have every lesson to learn from history regarding lifestyles that God doesn't like. But for the unbelievers, fine, they are unbelievers. But when it comes into the church, when the people who even should know God better claim they know God and yet insult God with their lifestyles, it's even more serious. And this is a typical case. So, Rora won on the fifth ballot during the online synod assembly in May, receiving 209 votes and narrowly defeating Reverend Jeff Johnson of Berkeley, California, who received 207 votes. Rora's installation service took place at St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Walnut Creek in California on September 11th. In a statement, Rora, who is married and has two children, said that stepping into the new role would not be possible without the diverse community of Lutherans in North California and Nevada prayerfully and thoughtfully voting to do a historic thing. I mean, what type of prayer did they pray about this? This generation. My installation will celebrate all that is possible when we trust God to shepherd us forward. Rora said, according to the Associated Press. In the role, Rora promised to love others and love what others love. Rora previously served as pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in San Francisco and a chaplain coordinator for the city's police department. In May 2011, interview with Gender Spectrum, Rora shared how falling in love with a campus pastor's daughter in college was just the beginning of being open about sexuality. Rora described life as a long, stretched out journey of figuring out identity. And you see, this issue of identity, what is there to search about your identity? So you read, you hear people say they've search their identity and now they found their true identity. What is there to search about your identity? You are who you are. God created you as you are. There is nothing to search for again, because if you have two legs, you have two legs. Where are you going to search for another leg again? If you have two hands, that is what you have. So where are you searching for? Is there an invisible hand that you are searching for to give you an extra two hands, like we see in Kwekwanansi stories. You see, so we are who we are. That's what we are. We've been created as we are. God, in his own wisdom, decided to create you as you are. So when we begin to question his creation of who we are and what we think we are, it's personally, I think it's one of the highest insults to God, because he knows why he made you a male or a female. So now to say that you are questioning your identity, you don't believe you should have been a male, you should have been a female, or you don't believe the other way, you should have been the other one, and then you are saying God made a mistake. And we know God doesn't make mistakes. No, he doesn't. And it's very, very, very unfortunate. But this action, a lot of pastors in the U.S. as well, other groups are really not happy about it. And some have really gone far to say that this is clearly something that is an insult to God. And that's the truth. It's a clear insult to God, because how can a church, supposed church, you see, so it's now clear that these places are no longer churches again. The Spirit of God is not there. That's the bottom line. And in final, the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary said, "I don't know what trans even means in this case." And he says that he told Fox News in an interview on Monday, he warned that the transgender movement represents an intentional subversion of the creation order. And that's the truth. Subverting the creation order, the way God has created things, man, woman. This transgender is now creating a mixture of problems, because now they are mixing things. Some say they are both, like this bishop says, I'm both male and female. I mean, how can you claim you are both male and female? Then you even meet some, they say they are none, so they are non-binary, they don't belong to any male or female, so they are neither a zero nor a one, they just exist. So there are also some who choose what to be on a particular day. So there are some who think that on Monday I feel like being a man, so Monday he will claim to be a man. On Tuesday, depending on the mood and feelings, say that, okay, I'm a woman, so today I'll be and act like a woman. I mean, come on. I mean, what is wrong with this generation? But you see, we have to understand what is happening. The truth is, it's going to get worse. And they are using their power and influence in the systems to now force believers to accept them. We are fortunate in this part of our world where our cultural values are strong, so they are not penetrating the way they are or they wish to. You see, but it's just a matter of time. They will be using things that would twist the hands of our leaders, and it will going to be more difficult for us to resist some of these laws that they want to push on the world. All right, let me get into the next that says, kids younger than 16 will be allowed to take puberty blockers without parents' consent. It says a UK court. UK appeals court gives this ruling. That's absurd. In a controversial case concerning the use of puberty blockers for children who are confused about their gender, the British Court of Appeal ruled on Friday that doctors can prescribe such experimental drugs without parental consent. Can you imagine that? Without parental consent. Meanwhile, in these countries, even to give paracetamol or a painkiller to a child in school, you have to seek the consent of the parents. So, how can you give a drug that is going to alter the gender, or to alter the hormonal balances and hormones in the child, in the effect of changing gender, something that has a permanent damage or altering the body? That one, parents should not be informed. But headache, stomach, whatever, that one, if you are taking the child to hospital in an emergency, you have to inform the child, the parents. You are giving the child medication in school. Parents should be consented. I mean, they have to be informed. But something that is altering their internal organs, hormonal balances and all, changing them eventually from whichever male to female, whatever changes they intend to do, that one, parents should not be consent. You shouldn't tell parents. If this generation is not the most evil, I don't know the next one that will come. Because, I mean, virtually, things are just getting off. Things that makes no sense again are virtually things that are becoming normal. And you would have adults too. These things are not children who are pushing these laws. These are adults who should know better. Adults who should know better. So the overturning a high court ruling, which had concluded last year that it was highly unlikely that a child aged 13 or younger would be able to consent to taking puberty blockers. The court said on Friday that doctors, not the courts, would decide whether their parents can properly consent to taking such treatment, the Telegraph reported. Quote, the court was not in a position to generalize about the capability of persons of different ages to understand what is necessary for them to be competent to consent to the administration of puberty blockers, unquote. The Lord Chief Justice, Lord Barnett, and Sir Geoffrey Voss, and Lady Justice King said in the judgment, the Times reported, it placed patients, parents, and clinicians in a very difficult position. The High Court's decision was appealed by the nation's sole gender clinic, the Tavistock and Portman National Health Insurance Trust in London in June. And the trust is now in talks with NHS England to ascertain the ruling's impact on its practice. The original case was brought about in part by Keira Bell, a 23-year-old detransitioned woman who underwent the experimental treatment at the trust facility as a teenager. Bell had her breast amputated as a young adult and then wound up regretting the entire gender transition later in her life. And that is one thing. There are a lot of people who change their gender and regret afterwards. And this is a typical case. You cut your breast off to become a male. Now you regret it. Where is the breast? It's gone. It's gone. So your body is changed. Now you want to change back to a female. How can you? You've lost your breast already. You've cut it off. And these are the realities. There are staggering numbers of, I mean, one report I read, many, they regret after. They regret it. So there was one, for instance, he transitioned from male to female and then transitioned from female to male again. You know, all these things. Then goes on to say that Bell had her breast amputated as a young adult and then wound up regretting the entire gender transition later in her life. Bell argued in her case that she was incapable of understanding the risks of the medical interventions and that she is now likely not able to ever have children because of how the drugs compromise her fertility. Now who calls them? You took the drugs yourself. Bell was quoted as saying that she was surprised and disappointed by the decision of the appeal court, but doesn't regret having filed the lawsuit. It has shown a light into the dark corners of a medical scandal that is harming children and harmed me, she said, adding that she plans to appeal the ruling to the Supreme Court. The High Court ruling last year, which now stands overturned, required doctors to obtain what is known as a best interest order from a judge before they could prescribe such drugs to youth. At least in the case was the Gillick competence test, which holds that parental rights in the United Kingdom pertaining to medical treatment end when the child achieves enough understanding and intelligence to understand what is being proposed. In March, the High Court ruled that parents would be allowed to give consent for their minor children to take puberty blocking drugs without having to gain a judge's approval. the use of synthetic hormones to block the puberty processes of children experiencing gender dysphoria has faced increased scrutiny in recent years. A study published in PLOS-1 followed a cohort of youth treated at the Tavistock Clinic and found that the use of puberty blockers was shown to have stunted their bone growth. Of the 44 children who went on the puberty suppressing drugs, 43 continued to cross-sex hormones. Last June, NHS updated its policy on puberty blockers by removing the claim that the experimental drugs prescribed to transgender-identifying youth are fully reversible, and said it's unknown what the short-term and long-term effect will be on a person's bones, physical body, and mental health. So they don't know what will happen to you in the future. Experimental drug suppress your hormones. And no, it's very worrying. But see, at the heart of this discussion is what will cause that child to want to change their gender. And this whole thing starts from information. They are getting information from basically two main sources, from the media and from the classroom in most cases. So these are the two main categories. And it is this reason why this topic like this is important, this digital parenting, because you see, it is feeding them with this whole garbage about this gender thing. You can change if you are not happy. If you fail, you can change if you don't fail. I mean, all these things, the pollution is being pushed heavily in the media landscape. And then in some countries and in some places, the educational system too compounds it by what is taught in the classroom and in the textbooks and all. But at least in Ghana, fortunately, our educational system isn't doing that. But the media, we are still having access, our children have access to some of these media systems that have polluted them in the West. See, so whatever pollution that these children in the West, in the US and in the Europe and these places got exposed to, through the power of technology, our children too are getting exposed to these things. So these platforms that destroyed them and is still destroying them, we are having them here in Ghana as well. So you see, the issue is a very critical one, because if we fail to act in time, we will be surprised to start hearing the same conversation that they are having out there in the West. So you start having children as young as they can be, start questioning their gender, and you wonder, where did you learn it from? And it will be, I saw it on the TV. I watched it. I saw it on the TV. I read it on the internet. I saw it on the TV. I saw it on a friend's phone. You see, because other means of information, I mean, these channels are all available to them in Ghana as well. It doesn't get any better. It even gets far serious. Next news. In Scotland, Scottish teachers told to allow four-year-old kids to change gender identity without parents' consent. When I saw this news, I don't know. It's sad. It's really sad. This world is virtually insulting God by actions every day. It tells you where we are. It tells you the state of the world and where we are in God's timetable. Because these things cannot go on forever. Because the longer He stays, Christ stays and delays, in this world, no. The rate at which this world is moving, the rate at which this world is moving, if you can allow four-year-olds, I mean, everyone listening knows a four-year-old child and their brain, the ability to think and reason, some four-year-olds even still unite on themselves in bed at night. Four. And you say this four-year-old should have the ability to change gender identity without parental consent. Hey. The Scottish government has issued new LGBT inclusivity guidelines advising schools to allow children including those as young as 4, to change their name and gender identity without their parents' consent, claiming that's possible to come out as transgender at any age. At any age. 4-year-old, class 1, crown do class 1. So, I can't imagine seeing a little 4-year-old coming to tell that I want to change from a boy to a girl. And then you, the teacher, you say, okay, you won't tell the parents, so you can change from Frank to whatever name, or okay, whatever, male to female name, whatever. Okay, so this is the name I want to use in school. And you keep it a secret from the parents. And you start calling this child by the new name that he or she has chosen. So the name that the parents registered the child with officially, the birth certificate and all, that one is now nonsense. The child chooses a name, preferred name choice and gender, and the school now decides to accept that one. I mean, where did this world go wrong? So the 70-page document published this week orders teachers to address students by their desired pronouns, should they choose to identify as the opposite sex. The Telegraph reported, adding that it calls for posters challenging gender stereotypes to be displayed in classrooms. The document claims that the trans-identified individuals may come out at any age and advises teachers not to tell students that it's just a phase if they say they are transgender, according to the Times. Teachers should respect a young person's wishes and use the name or pronoun they have asked to be used. It reads, quote, if a young person comes out to you, it's also important not to deny their identity or overly question their understanding of their gender identity, unquote. LGBT advocacy groups that helped the government draw up the guidance, including Stonewall, which has received over $4 million of UK taxpayers' dollars in the past 3 years, according to the Christian Institute. Stonewall celebrated the guidelines, claiming they will help children thrive. Wow. Many conservative groups have warned against the dangerous ideology of the document. Is based on. It shows a failure in safeguarding and a removal of parental rights. Marion Calder, a co-director of the For Women Scotland campaign group, was quoted as saying, quote, it's used to be commonly understood that children should be able to play and experiment with gender roles, with clothing, with their likes and dislikes, unquote. Calder continued, those children are now being encouraged onto a medical pathway, potentially for the rest of their lives. We should not be teaching children, and especially primary school children, that they can change sex, because you cannot change sex. That's true, unquote. The guidelines also recommended a list of books for primary schools to promote trans inclusivity. So you see, they are not just leaving it as you just have your funny ideas, whatever, and come and say that I'm changing it. They are also going to have textbooks to encourage you to learn about it. By so doing, poisoning the minds of the children. Bernadette Wren, a consultant clinical psychologist at the Gender Identity Development Services Clinic in London, had warned in 2018 that schools act within minutes to register a child as the opposite sex. Goes on to say that schools might wait for the parents to approach them before changing things like names in the register, uniforms, pronouns, toilets, sports, and all that, like what toilet to use and all those funny stuff. But then goes on to say that she said at the time, quote, if a school just gets a whisper of a child who may be querying their gender, and within minutes they are doing everything to make sure the child is regarded as a member of the opposite sex right from the word go, that may not be the best for the child. In other words, parents want to change things, official documentation, go and come, bureaucracy, wait. But when a child just whispers in class, I want to be a boy, or a girl says, I want to be a boy, immediately action is being taken. Within minutes, it's being implemented. It tells you how evil the society has become. Where now evil is being encouraged at a faster rate and level, because as soon as you just say you want to be, we will help you to be. That's what is happening. So a child sits in class and is saying, I want to be a girl. A boy says, I want to be a girl. As soon as the teacher hears it, okay, immediately, principal, this boy says he wants to be a girl. Let's start the process, documentation, without parents' consent. Come on. In 2017, the Church of Scotland issued an apology for what it said was a historic discrimination against lesbians and gay people. But it maintained on its website that the definition of marriage is between man and woman. A few months later, the church issued a 30-page booklet titled Diverse Gender Identities and Pastoral Care, which showcased the stories of trans and non-binary identified Christians while insisting it was not making a theological statement on the issue. The church explained in a press statement at the time that the booklet was supposed to be a resource to help congregations be more sensitive to the needs of the community. The Christian Institute revealed in a report in 2018 that as many as 222 children, some as young as 6 years, had been referred to specialist services the previous year. That's a 20% increase. 6 year old. What? I mean, changing gender for what? The Scottish government are either being disingenuous or are seriously confused. Either way, they've got themselves in a mess, according to Kyron Kelly, a deputy director at the Christian Institute. Oh, but thank God for leaders like the next news I'm going to read. I mean, when I watched the video, I was very happy of this Ohio mayor. And we need this type of leaders. Ohio mayor orders school board to resign or face criminal charges over child pornography taught in schools. And this is how it should be. I mean, why should adults be sitting down and school boards are just destroying the children? Hey, the mayor of a city in Ohio ordered the school board to either resign or face criminal charges for allowing high school students to be exposed to course material that he described as child pornography. At the Hudson City School District Board of Education meeting on Monday, Hudson Mayor Craig Schubert, a Republican, can't be a Democrat, of course, addressed the school board saying, "It has come to my attention that your educators are distributing essentially what is child pornography in the classroom. I have spoken to a judge this evening. She has already confirmed that. Quote, I'm going to give you a simple choice. You either choose to resign from this board of education or you'll be charged," he said. The crowd gathered at the board meeting erupted into applause following Schubert's speech. The course material that raised concerns for Schubert and many parents and students who attended the school board meeting is called 642 Things to Write About, one of the several required tests for composition in the Liberal Arts 2, a college-level English course offered at Hudson High School in conjunction with Hiram College. Before Schubert spoke, a local resident shared his concerns about the book with the board. "Do not sexualize our kids," he demanded. "The raw filth that snuck past the gateway functions of this board of education of 642 reasons was disgusting." According to the man listed one of the prompts students were asked to write about, including, quote, "Explain a time when you wanted to orgasm but you couldn't." How could you say children should write this? What should they write about? He alleged that students were told not to take the book home. You see? So don't take the book home, so that the parents would not be aware of the material their children were exposed to at school. So the school is the poisoning ground. You get to school, you are poisoned. You go home without a textbook. Meredith Judson, a student at Hudson High, recalled, Quote, the first day we got it, within 10 minutes of us getting this book, all of us around the room had already found the things out about the problematic prompts in the book. If we found out in 10 minutes that all of these prompts were in the book, it's just interesting how the teacher wouldn't have known about this, unquote. Judson indicated exposure to sexually explicit material in the classroom was not an isolated incident. She described how in a previous class, she was watching movies that were rated R, that showed very sexual scenes and very explicit content, including a child that was 10 years old that was up on a stage taking off her clothes to do a perverted dance. Monica Havens read aloud several additional prompts from the book. One prompt asking students to write a sex scene you wouldn't show your mom. And this was followed by a subsequent prompt asking students to rewrite the sex scene from above into one that you would let your mom read. And according to the 642 things to write about, that's the book, also asked students to describe your favorite part of a man's body using only verbs. Write a sermon for a beloved preacher who has been caught in a sex scandal. And then write an X-rated Disney scenario. Drink a beer and write about the taste. Discuss the first time you had sex. And write a scene that begins, "It was the first time I killed a man." First time I killed a man. In other words, you are expecting the children to know how to kill. And you see, this is the red flag that parents should be checking out and looking out for. Why would you want a child to write about how first time I killed a man? You know, I'll be playing this file that I talked about, this kid who talks about killing, and I think, the rest of the news are linked to the digital parenting. So I think, let me play this file and then continue from there. That one is,
What do you want to be when you grow up?
A murderer, because I like killing. My brain tells me if I like killing or not. I like killing.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
A murderer, because I like killing. My brain tells me if I like killing or not. I like killing because when I first watched my grown-up killing show, myself started to like killing, and then my brain started to, like, tell me what to do with killing in it. So, okay. I like murders, and I like killing in my life. I'm going to kill everybody in the world except of my family because they just didn't do anything to me. I just like killing, so.
So, just any type of person, it doesn't matter? What about me?
Yeah.
Even me?
No, not even my teachers either.
Okay, because I'm the first person that you told this, am I? Yeah.
So, I just like killing.
So, what are you going to be again when you grow up?
A murderer.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
This is very serious. A child that looks not older than 6 years, five, thereabout, being asked, what will you do in the future when you grow? Says, a murderer. I like killing. I just like killing. You know, and just saying it out of fun, and you know, but see, where would this child learn this from? Where would he see it if he didn't have the exposure to seeing killings being perpetrated, people killing in videos, video games, and all that? More of this, I'll be back after this short break.
Dominate. My spirit man is poised and locked in battle. With the carnal side of me, I've grown to hate. The trumpet of my prayers play towards heaven. A voice of desperation. Lift it high, Lord, I hunger for holiness, and I trust.
Lord, I hunger for holiness. This is by Helen Baylor. Indeed, we have to hunger for holiness because the world, as we live in now and as we see, its evil is increasing. And sometimes people struggle to understand and ask what is happening, what is the cause of this murder, this person has killed this person and all that. Let me just finish off with these two news items just to get a picture of some of these things happening. One is, the headline is, Washington State driver 15 bumped and killed a jogger, then laughed about it. A 15-year-old Washington State girl killed a jogger, someone jogging, when she intentionally rammed him with a borrowed car and sped off, then later laughed about it with a friend, according to reports. You know, what will make a girl of 15 years do this? Kasama Smith took her godmother's car without permission and was driving 50 miles per hour, 15 miles over the posted speed limit, when she plowed into 53-year-old Greg Moore on a Maple Valley Street, according to charges against her. Quote, "I'm going to scare him. I'm going to bump him," unquote, Smith told a passenger in the car as she approached Moore running at about 6 a.m. in July, on July 18th, the Kent Reporter stated, citing the charges. A friend of Smith following the Camry in another car told investigators she heard a loud bang, then saw something fly into the air, according to the reporter. Moore was found hours later lying lifeless and shoeless in a ditch in front of the Shepherd of Valley Lutheran Church, according to Cairo TV. And the girl is facing second-degree murder and hit-and-run charges, but the victim's widow is outraged the teen isn't being tried as an adult for what she called a thrill kill. A family member of the suspect heard the individual laugh about the way George's body flew up in the air when she hit him. I mean, can you imagine this? Girl, 15 years, you hit someone intentionally, the body flies up in the air or up, and you are laughing about it. You see, let me finish it. It's a thrill kill, is what it's called, added Moore, who offered a $35,000 reward and set up a website to find the husband's killer. Anyway, they found the killer now. And even when juveniles are convicted as adults, superior court judges at sentencing can and do in many cases still follow the juvenile sentencing guidelines set by state lawmakers. So though, I mean, this act, this girl should be treated as an adult, but most likely they will treat her as a juvenile. So Kasama is accused of taking her godmother's car before the deadly prank, then lied to the car owner when she brought it back, denying she ever drove it and saying someone damaged it with a bat, according to the reporter. The teen spent the weeks following the crash concerned friends might snitch on her, and that's friends who report her, according to Cairo TV. Her godmother went to authorities when she watched surveillance footage of the car and recognized it as her own car, the newspaper said. Kasama turned herself into police last week, accompanied by her father. Then the second one, this one is Texas teenager who said he killed family and posted images online, kills self. So a Texas teenager who said he had killed his family and posted graphic photos of their bodies on social media was found dead from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound Wednesday night, along with three of his alleged victims, according to the police. When officers tracked William Quinn's Colburn III, 15 years, to the house in San Patrico County, they heard a gunshot after unsuccessfully trying to get him to come outside and the sound of a body hitting the floor. That's killing himself then, in that case. Officers found, the house, his father, his mother, and then a sister, and then two dogs, all shot. And, you know, this is, so he killed them, posted it on social media, And then friends who saw it reported to the police, and the police rushed to the house, and then he killed himself when the police arrived there. This is becoming all too common. But you ask yourself, what causes such behavior? Where their feelings are numbed. It's dead. They don't have feelings. They don't have feelings. Let me get into the Bible. Let's read something from 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, I like 2 Timothy chapter 3 for one good reason. It gives a perfect description of the state of the world in the end times. You see, so when you read 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1 to, let's say, verse 5, it gives a picture how the world will look like in the end times. So it says, verse 1, this know also that in the last days, so clearly this is a prophecy. This is a last days prophecy that was given. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1 to 5, I'm reading. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Natural affection. Virtually, they are like animals. They have no feelings. Naturally, a human being should have feelings for other human beings. You are driving a car, you see a human being, you try to avoid hitting the person as best as you can. But now, you see a human being jogging, and you just say that I'm going to hit this person and laugh about it. I mean, there's no natural. Virtually, the conscience is dead. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. I mean, virtually, see, every one of these things, we are seeing them. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This is a perfect picture of the world. These character traits are going to be common in the last days. And anyone listening to me, you can go for your dictionary, look for all these words, do a study of them. I believe one of these editions on issues would really go through word by word. And you see and realize that each of them is happening at an alarming rate in our society now. The lifestyles of people is virtually depicting exactly what this prophecy talks about. People are becoming evil, unholy. They just don't care about you. There's no feeling as human beings again. But you see, something will cause these things to happen. And unfortunately, the media is one of the major tools being used to achieve this thing. So, you see, people watch things. Let's video I played about a six-year-old boy saying, I love killing. I just want to kill. I want to be a murderer. Why would this boy say this if he has never seen a murder scene in a video game before? For the child to say this means he has seen it a number of times, either video, TV, computer games, movies and all, and he has fallen in love with it. So fast forward, you read this 15-year-old girl kills somebody with a car and laughs about it, makes fun of it, like the thrill, the enjoyment of killing someone. This 15-year-old boy, the second news, kills the family, posts it on social media, sees nothing wrong with it. Police comes, kills himself. But you ask yourself, why would they get to that state? It starts from like being that little boy saying he will kill. He wants to kill everybody. This boy, if care is not taken, and if serious psychological and spiritual help is not given to him, indeed, will grow up and kill. Not to be an adult. He will kill at a younger age. So far as he gets the means to kill, he will kill. You see, these things, we are believers, so we have to understand the dynamics that there are spiritual forces at play. Iniquity, evil, and all that is happening, it doesn't just happen by chance. There are forces, demonic activities behind the scenes we don't see with our physical eyes. But things are being manipulated by the forces behind it. So all these things Paul listed, there are demons backing it. And these demons are operating in various ways through the media systems, the media networks. So the cartoons, the video games, and all, these are all platforms being used. So as adults, as parents, as teenagers, as children, if we expose ourselves to the wrong side of the technologies available, the channels, the platforms, and we don't work on it, we don't control ourselves, eventually we fall into the trap that is set for us. Because you see, more children are killing themselves, the suicide rates are going up. And you know, so when I saw the Facebook report, the Instagram research that they themselves have done, you see, I wasn't surprised, because I know that's the fact, that's what is happening indeed. But now, if they themselves have done this research and they've hidden it, and then someone has leaked it, then you realize the harm is indeed being caused. Because, you know, I saw a video some years back, and that was when I really saw the effects, the seriousness of this modern generation. A girl climbed to a top floor and about to commit suicide. And a normal human beings would try to save her, try to climb up to try and stop her from jumping, hold her, call the fire service, they can bring their ladder, try to get big foam to block if she jumps. At least something human beings will have the inner feeling, the normal human being should have the feeling to save a life. But that is not what is happening now. This girl stands there threatening to jump, and the teenagers down there, and of course it was being recorded. That's why, you know, so quickly now these days people just, you know, that's one thing which this generation, people just pull their phones recording. And instead of help coming, they rather cheered her on, jump, 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 and she jumped. I realized there's something happening in our world today. Because, you see, they have no feelings. So you want to die, we'll help you to die. And you die, they don't care. there's no feelings again. That's exactly what Second Timothy 3 is talking about. They have no feelings. They are virtually working as robots, zombies. They have no feelings for another human being. So they don't care. You're dying, or your threat to die, or threatening to kill yourself, they will rather cheer you on and help you to kill yourself. That's the state of the world. You see, and these are teenagers. Children. So there is something that has caused them to lose their feelings, and is causing them to lose their feelings even more. And the technologies are causing this, the games they've played. You know, the video games. You see some of the video games and you marvel as to why this is designed. Of course, they will say R18, so it's for 18 and above, adults and all. But you see, the children still have access to it. Some of these games are... How many parents really, whose children play games, know about the games they are playing? How many? So, for the ratings that are on the games, whether 18 or 15 plus or whatever, most parents have no idea. One, how many people even buy original games to see the cover itself with the age rating and the, all that? A lot are just pirated, just download from hacking sites and all that, sharing from friends. And so parents virtually are in the dark when it comes to the things their parents, the children are having access to with the technologies, the games and all that. There's one game, for instance, that you the in the game, it's all about robberies, and you know, they have in the game you can rape girls, you can all the virtually the bad things. And this is a game. So imagine a child who gets access to this killings. So the bloody killings. See, so as you do this over and over in the game, you kill. Virtually becomes, you see, we should know that it's not just a game. Because psychologically, you find yourself in it. So unconsciously, it's like you are part of the thing. And you are doing the killing, this time virtually. But that act of doing it over and over and over again is killing your feelings, because unconsciously, you are training yourself to see nothing wrong with it. So it's a very subtle way of numbing or killing your feelings. So you get exposed to it gradually. And so it's just a game. Just killing. It's just a game. But then a time will come that if the opportunity arises, you have the gun that you can truly kill people who have offended you, you would act that same way. Some years back, not too long ago, I've gotten where in New Zealand, one guy took a gun, went to a mosque and killed, I mean, is it 40-something or 50-something people? And you watch the video of that thing. It's just like a video game. He was recording it. So he had a camera recording it. And the whole scenery of the way the way he was doing it, it's just like a video game that is being played. You see, so you realize this person is virtually acting out on a game he has played for a long time. But now in reality, he has the guns and he's doing it. You see, so when parents are being cautioned that let's be careful about the things we expose our children to, it's not just that, oh, somebody is becoming too spiritual or somebody is becoming too, the right word, I've forgotten, but trying to be too overprotective. It is indeed a very serious thing that is happening in the world now, because the children are being destroyed. The devil is after our children, believe it or not. The devil is seriously after our children, the teenagers, those in the early youthful ages and all. The devil is after everyone. 4-year-olds cry, he's chasing them to destroy their lives. Catch them young and they will be yours forever. That's what the devil is doing. The earlier they destroy the child, the soul of that child belongs to them, except the grace of God comes in. So now they are not waiting for the child to grow because the devil knows his time is short. So the earlier they act, the better for them. So they have to strike as quickly as possible. And they are using every means possible to strike. The reason why we have to guard against these things as parents, and even we ourselves as adults, is that it is leaving an impact on us unconsciously as we get exposed to these violent things and the filthy things on social media and on the TV networks and the things we watch and all. We have to understand who we are as believers. Our bodies are the temple of God. But the devil wants to pollute and contaminate us. So as we open up ourselves, we get exposed to these things. We get destroyed by these things. We get poisoned spiritually by these things. Let me read the Facebook report. Instagram acknowledges application can harm teenagers' self-esteem in response to reports. So in summary, it says more than 30% of teen girls who felt bad about their bodies said Instagram made it worse. Facebook recognizes how harmful its photo sharing application or app, Instagram, can be for teen girls' self-esteem, according to company documents obtained by the Wall Street Journal. Researchers tapped by the tech giant to examine the app's impact on young teens' mental health over the past 3 years found that 32% of teen girls who felt bad about their bodies said Instagram made the issue worse, according to Wall Street Journal. Karina Newton, Instagram's head of public policy, said in a Tuesday blog post that it stands by the research, which demonstrates the company's commitment to understanding complex and difficult issues young people may struggle with, and informs all the work Instagram does to help those experiencing these issues. We are proud that our app can give voice to those who have been marginalized, that it can help friends and family stay connected from all corners of the world, that it can prompt societal change, but we also know it can be a place where people have negative experiences, as the journal called out today, Newton said in a blog post. Newton added that its job is to make people feel good about the experience they have on Instagram. One 2019 slide on the Instagram researchers' presentation detailing its findings said the app makes, quote, body image issues worse for 1 in 3 teen girls, unquote. 1 in 3, that's serious. Quote, again, teens blame Instagram for increases in the rate of anxiety and depression, unquote. Another slide read, according to the Wall Street Journal, WSJ, it says, quote again, this reaction was unprompted and consistent across all groups, unquote. Some users also attributed time spent on the app to experiencing suicidal thoughts. 6% of American users indicated a connection between the two, compared to 13% for UK users. And the slide presentation viewed by WSJ said about 4 in 10 Americans use Instagram, compared to 7 in 10 Americans who use Facebook, according to a Pew Research survey published in April. Among young adult users between the ages of 18 to 29, the majority, 81%, said they use Instagram. More than 40% of the app's users are under 22 years, and about 22 million teens use the app every day, WSJ reported, citing Facebook's documents. A 2018 Pew Research survey that Newton cited in her Tuesday blog post found that 81% of teenagers ages 13 to 17 found that social media in general makes them feel more connected, while 26% said it makes them feel insecure. 4 in 10 teenagers said they only post on social media so that they look good to other people. Let me repeat, 4 in 10 teenagers said they only post on social media so that they look good to other people. Can you imagine that? See, so people are they are living their lives just to please others. And more than half of teenagers surveyed said they have unfriended or unfollowed other users due to bullying. Facebook has noted that Instagram can also have a positive impact on health. There has been a shift toward posts about body positivity and realistic physical and mental health expectations in recent years as users attempt to change social media culture. But influencers posting images of seemingly perfect lives and bodies on app remain prevalent. Many users said Instagram makes things better or has no effect. But some, particularly those who are already feeling down, said Instagram may make things worse. In the research world, this isn't surprising or unexpected, Newton wrote in a blog post. Issues like negative social comparison and anxiety exist in the world, so they are going to exist on social media too. Of course, I mean, that's her job. She's been paid to work, I mean, so she'll say such a thing anyway. Instagram's head of policy public policy, added that the company is taking steps to combat issues such as bullying, self-harm, suicide, and eating disorders as they relate to users. The app has created features so that users can protect themselves from bullying and gives users the option to hide the number of likes on their posts. The app is also exploring ways to prompt users looking at content related to eating disorders to look at difficult or different topics if they are repeatedly looking at this type of content, Newton wrote. We are cautiously optimistic that these nudges will help point people towards content that inspires and uplifts them, and to the larger extent will shift the part of Instagram's culture that focuses on how people look, she said. You know, this is worrying because countless research works has, let me read this report from CNN. On the same report, CNN put it this way. They had their headline was "Jaw-dropping moments in Wall Street Journal's bombshell Facebook investigation," and they say that we make body issues worse. Another reads, teenagers blame Instagram for increase in the rate of anxiety and depression. This reaction was unprompted and consistent across all groups, as I read earlier. I'm looking for a statement. Goes on to say that there's the misinformation and toxicity and violent content. So data scientists put it bluntly, that misinformation, toxicity, that's toxic content, and violent content are inordinately prevalent among shared information. You see, so our approach has had unhealthy side effects on important slices of public content, such as politics and news, the scientist wrote. This is an increasing liability, one of them wrote in the later memo cited by Wall Street Journal. So there's the negative side of this thing cannot be ignored. It cannot be ignored. But the reason we are discussing the negatives later, then we'll summarize all these things with the positives and how to survive there, how to use it effectively if we still want to use and all that. And see, the reason why these things are important, that we have to address them, is it is affecting people's lives, Christians. Their lives, people's lives are being affected. But tonight, briefly, let me just summarize this in the issue of time that these things are wasting. These things are really consuming people's time heavily. It's destroying people's lives. People's businesses are being affected because the time they have to use to do something, they have to learn, they are just using it on social media, hours on end, scrolling, watching a little here, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. But then you cumulatively realize you spend 2 hours, 3 hours. You see, and you ask yourself, to what end? And then what did you achieve? But we have to be wise, especially now, the times we are in, because we have to understand that the game that the devil is playing is to cause us to lose focus, distract us with as many things as possible, cause us to get into areas that would, we get exposed to things that can affect us spiritually. You see, so you look at this data, for instance, where if 4 out of 10 people are posting things just to please others, it tells you that their whole purpose on social media is just pleasing others. So people are doing things just to make others comment positively on them, just for others to say good things about them. You know, let me give a scenario where how these things are affecting the teenagers, the girls and all. You see, I dare say that it goes beyond just the teenagers. It's just this report that is limited to teenagers, but it's affecting adults, ladies, adults as well. people take a picture, for instance, of themselves, whether selfie or goes to wedding, takes a picture, or a picture is taken of her and all that, uploads it to their system, Instagram or Facebook, then post the picture at 5 p.m. Then unconsciously, it's like, hey, have people commented? So 5:10, goes on to check, no comments. 5:15, let me check, no comments. Hey, are people not seeing this picture that I put there? 5:30, only one like. Then, you see, unconsciously, you start wondering, are people not seeing it? Or they are seeing it and they just don't care? Is my dress not nice? Am I not looking beautiful? Oh, but when I went to the wedding, people were saying, you look beautiful. People were commenting and all that. So why is it that I put it on Instagram or on Facebook and only one like so far? Then you go through, you're a chorister, okay, you are going to choir rehearsals. Whilst you are singing, as you are thinking, you have people like, that many people have commented on my picture. You are thinking, you can't even concentrate on the choir rehearsals you are doing. You close, as soon as you close, you get on, let me get onto the phone to see how many comments. You get onto the phone, you open and it's like, just two likes or three likes. Or just one comment. You see, this is how the system works. Then you get into a mood that's like, there's something wrong. People don't like my picture. I'm not beautiful. Or, okay, tomorrow when I go to church, I'll dress well. I'll take a more beautiful picture and then put that one tomorrow. You see, this is what is driving this fashion thing on social media. So one picture after the other. And Christians are involved in this. I mean, we shouldn't run away from it. Christians are involved in this. That's why parents should ensure that, at least I would advise, if you can, don't let your teenagers get onto Instagram. The girls, don't let them start it at all. You see, there are some things which you can control when you're already in it. But there are some things which is better not to start at all. You see, sometimes the withdrawal symptoms or the stopping it, you need extra efforts. You need more self-control to be able to stop some things or control some things. But when you've not started it at all, I mean, you don't have a problem. So I would advise that discourage your teenage girls, your children from even getting onto Instagram in the first place. If she's not there, she's not there. But the challenge, these are the realities. So you realize the case study I'm giving you is a reality that is happening. So though this is an innocent Christian girl, tongue-talking, spirit-filled Christian girl, but unconsciously, this system is manipulating her actions. Unconsciously. So you realize the next day, Sunday, her dressing and beauty and all, the motive is just one thing, to get a good picture for Instagram or social media at the end of service. So the cycle continues after service, posing, turning, all the angles, take pictures, get home, or even on phone, or start uploading them in church today. Yes, then comments, put expecting comments. So when comments come more than the previous day's pictures, oh, okay, so this dress is nicer. Okay. See, this is how they are manipulating, the systems are manipulating people. Unconsciously. So you think it's natural, it's normal. But these are all ways in which you are being manipulated without you really being conscious of it. You see, so our actions, people's actions are being driven by these systems, unconsciously and unknowingly. So that's why when you read a research like this, you see, so some look at themselves, people are not liking their pictures, but they look at their friend's own and this friend, hey, 300 likes, hey, but we are in the same class, we all at the same wedding, how come, but we're in the same, we're all whatever, maid, whatever, whatever the name they call themselves, I've forgotten, bridal, whatever, train, and the same dress. Everybody said we were beautiful, but she has 300 likes, maybe 99 comments, And then me, I have just 5 likes and 0 comments. That means I'm not beautiful. My body, maybe I'm too fat. Okay, then I have to slim down. See, this is what the research that they are talking about. So 1 in 3, that's about 33% of teenagers. And I see this thing, they limited it to teenagers. But if they are to expand this research into adults, you'll be amazed that 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds are in this same soup. They are all suffering from this same stigma or problem. You see, so they are comparing themselves. Maybe I'm too fat. Okay, then I have to slim my. So body shaming, they shame themselves. And no, that means my body, my shape, I don't look too good. I'm not beautiful enough. And some get into depression. And there are reports of people who got into this type of depressive moods to the point of suicide. Some people have killed themselves because of these social media things, how they looked, how lack of comments from their friends and lack of likes and all pushed them into depressive moods and some even to suicide. You see, so we as believers should learn and see the seriousness of these systems which are adding more harm to us than good. Oh, yes. You see, there's the good part. Yes, no doubt about it. But, you see, in the quests and in the times we are in, we have to be wise and know what is helpful to us spiritually and what is harming us spiritually. There are some things we can do without, and we lose nothing. Because if you don't have your presence on Instagram with your dresses and your pictures commenting and all, what do you lose? What money does it add to you? Is the influence? There are people who are making money from it. Perfect. It's their work. They are making money, business. There's no problem with it. But if it's just for the fun of it, that is going to influence you and cause you to do things you shouldn't do, then you have to ask yourself as a Christian, is it worth it? And as Christian mothers listening, you have daughters. See, now some are even getting there at a younger, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 8-year-olds, they are joining. Because they have access to phone and they have access to internet, so they are joining these platforms. Parents, please be careful and advise them about it. The dangers are real. The dangers are real. There's one report, I think I saw even on my phone. Let me just see if I can quickly read a portion of it. The program is Issues of Life. Listen to Spirit FM Kumasi for online listeners. Okay. Oh, I saw it not long ago. Okay. Uh-huh. This news from the Daily Mail in the UK says, number of children groomed to send sex abuse images of themselves doubled during the first half of this year. That's 2021. And this is UK. They are saying the MPs have warned of disgusting rise in so-called self-generated abuse material, where Internet Watch Foundation reports that there is 117% increase in abusive images and videos. And children are increasingly being groomed or coerced by adults into sexually abusing themselves on camera. MPs have warned of a disturbing rise in the so-called self-generated child sexual abuse material, especially during the pandemic. In the first 6 months of 2021, the Internet Watch Foundation recorded 117% increase in abusive images and videos created using webcams and smartphones. This is serious. Another part says that self-generated content can include material filmed using webcams, very often in a child's own room, and then shared online. In some cases, children are groomed, deceived, or extorted into producing and sharing sexual image of or video of themselves. But the issue and the truth is, it's not only children that are in this trap. Teenagers, young ladies, university girls, adult girls, or women, sorry, ladies, fall into this category as well. Some years back, a lady was complaining that the phone was missing and the armed robbers stole the phone. But her worry wasn't the phone, but the content on the phone. was now her worry, because if the pictures on it, someone gets access to it, she's in trouble. You see, taking of pictures of themselves, nude pictures and all that, oh, sending to your friend, sharing it and all that. You see, and these are the realities. So parents, see, they have to start engaging their children, the girls especially. This is where the main problem, when it comes to this body, you know, a lot is more to do with the girls, the teenagers, the young girls and all. You see, so these technologies have been used, various platforms are being made available for them to upload their pictures there, some deceiving them that they'll pay them money when they upload, and then now no money comes. That means now you have lost. Your picture is on the internet and there's no money for you. So you've been tricked. And you see, sometimes these people are very smart. They know how to deceive. And the girls and the children, you know, are normally outsmarted. So these people just always tend to win and then gain the material without any gifts being given as they promised. These are realities. In Ghana, there are cases like that. The Ghana Police Service has cases to that effect. I mean, there are cases. It's happening. So parents have a lot of work to do regarding protecting their children. And some of these things puts the child in a depressive mood, because now you see the child is depressed and you ask, oh, is anything the problem? No, there's no problem. But you see that there's something wrong with your child. Now, you push and push. You realize the child has given out his images and now is afraid of what is going to happen. These are realities. It puts them in depressive moods. The Christian girl who used to pray, go to church, in the choir, active in church, suddenly is withdrawn, no longer active in church again, doesn't feel like going to church again. Something is happening. The influence is happening. So parents need to understand the dynamics of what is happening in our time now and then hold on to the wisdom that they are getting and then act on it. Because as believers, as Christians, we should not just follow things for following sake. No, we should know why we are doing what we are doing. So if everybody is going this way, you just don't follow because everybody is going. You should ask the Lord, should I also be there? Should I also use it? If it's not going to glorify God, forget it. If it's not going to help you, forget it. Because, see, these things influence our thinking pattern. Let me read Philippians 4:8. And that's a classic case study regarding our thinking pattern and what we should think about. It's a very good. It says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. So before you get onto these platforms, ask yourself, is it really a true thing in terms of positive? Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So the things you think about should be guided by these things. So if you are going to engage in technologies and in social media and in video online and all the whatever you are going to engage in, which is going to influence your thinking, it should still fall subject or fit into these categories of things that you think about. If the thing you are going to post or you are going to watch is not going to help you to think in a pure way, then it's not fit for purpose. If the thing you are going to write is not going to, encourage or help you to think in the right way, then it's not good for purpose there. If it's unjust, what you are going to put there is not good. It's not lovely. It's not honest. We have to know that we are believers first before technology follows. So we are believers who are using technology. That's how we should define ourselves. So our believer status, our Christian status, should override and influence whatever we use in this life as believers. So if you are a believer and you are using whatever system, it should be a Christian using the thing. So your Christian fundamental principle should be there. your Christian values should still remain. But you can't say that you're a Christian, but as for you, when you get on Instagram, you put your Christian status aside and act like an unbeliever. When you finish, then you pick your Christian clothes, jacket again, then you wear it. No, it doesn't work that way. If you're a Christian, we should be Christians across board. So, fast time goes. I can't take calls tonight. I have some messages. Let me see. Isaac. Okay. Whew. Okay. Oh, sorry. I think someone said the internet was, the online streaming was not stable. That's unfortunate. I didn't see that message. I think it wasn't stable. Okay, the internet wasn't stable. Very sorry for that. Okay, we'll upload it. The file has been recorded, so wow. Okay. All right. So God willing, next week we'll come your way. I'll upload this. Upload the recording to spiritissues.info and then I'll put it to the site as well as the Telegram group. For the online listeners, I think, yes, I don't think they are hearing anyway, but they will listen anyway, the recorded one. Apologies for it's not being stable. Okay. All right. So, good night and God bless you. It's my prayer that as believers would take these things seriously and act on it. Parents would act on it as teenagers, as adults, as youth, as we listen to these things. Let's really act and take these things serious, because we are in very, very, very interesting times. And if there's a better time to be a serious Christian, these are the times we should be. And so whatever is going to be a hindrance, whatever is going to be a weight, you know, a weight is not necessary. It's not a sin. But if it's a weight that is weighing you down, better discard it and then concentrate on your race. Oh, yes. I mean, we have to be able to determine what is benefiting us or what is beneficial to our Christian work and what is not beneficial. There are some things we have to start dishing. I mean, just put some things off your life. Lighten the burden on you now and concentrate on the race, because the times are really evil and things are not going to get better. No. Things are not going to get better. For that one, be assured of that. Anyway, good night and God bless you. This is Eben. God willing, next week we'll be coming your way. The trumpet of my prayers play towards heaven.